Good morning, everyone. I've been asked to tell you a little bit about the University of Florida hemp program. And so we're still in the early days. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the status of hemp in Florida. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our research plan and the activities we've been up to. And perhaps leave a couple minutes at the end for anybody's questions. And so if you've been to a hemp talk at all this week, then you see the first slide something like this, just making sure that everybody's clearly understanding about what is industrial hemp. And so botanically, it is cannabis sativa, botanically indistinguishable from marijuana. So industrial hemp and marijuana are the same plant. However, they are legally distinguished by the THC content, THC being the mind-altering chemical in the cannabis plant. So THC less than 0.3% is defined legally as industrial hemp. Anything greater than that is marijuana. So with the transition in laws, we've been able to gain an economic opportunity as a potentially viable alternative crop for the country. And an interesting note that may be special to Florida is the possible ecological challenges as well, particularly the invasion risk. So I give this talk a lot in Florida, and perhaps anybody familiar with cover crops might be familiar with this picture here in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. That's Crotalaria junceae. Folks call that sun hemp. And so oftentimes I come up to farmers and say, well, we've been growing hemp as cover crop for all this time, and now I can't because it's illegal, and I have to say, well, that's one kind of sun hemp, and we're talking about something entirely different. So I always get to talk to interesting people. So then what are we doing with hemp? Why are we interested in hemp as a agricultural crop? Well, hemp is many things, and depending on what you're looking to do with hemp as far as production will sort of decide how you're going to be farming it. So for fiber, you are working to establish a nice, strong, and sturdy stem, which you'll harvest vegetatively just around flowers. If you're looking to capture the grain, then you want to ensure pollination in your field, a lot of nice pollinated flowers to put together the seed. And then what most folks are interested in from the economic opportunities is the CBD or cannabidiol. Those plant extracts come from virgin flowers. So the flowers that have not been pollinated are harvested, and the essential oil is extracted and then further refined. So hemp production has been sort of described and claimed to be many things. Some folks say as many as tens of thousands of things. I'm more of a lumper, and so these 8 to 7 things is kind of the group of opportunities that you have for hemp production. So fiber, as I mentioned, can be used for textiles, historically for clothes and sailcloth, rope. It can be used as a food, whether you're eating the microgreens, which I've seen in the grocery store, or the hemp seed can be pressed into oil. The crop might be able to be used for forage, for cattle and other livestock. If you take the fiber and the other materials, you can break it down and do things like building materials and other sorts of bioplastics. The plant extracts from the CBD hemp can ultimately be put into various different nutraceutical and medicinal products. I'll note the rather formal-looking bottle there in the middle of the screen. That's Epidiolex. It is the first cannabis-derived drug that has been approved by the FDA. There's also an interesting opportunity to use hemp as an environmental remediation crop, one that might pull up some heavy metals. So just the brief overview for the legal status of hemp by way of this graphic. I was fond of saying for a while that I lived in two universes, the universe set up by the 2014 Farm Bill and the universe set up by the 2018 Farm Bill. Okay, so on the top, industrial hemp pilot projects were offered to the states in the 2014 Farm Bill. Florida established their pilot project in 2017, the rules to do that in 2018, and then that pushed me down the road, our program down the road of getting Board of Trustees approval and our permits and our registrations and all the things that took a whole slew of time to get to our first planting. Now, since then, we're moving down the pathway of hemp commercialization that was set up by the 2018 Farm Bill. Florida recently passed their commercialization law in 2019 and is currently in the rulemaking process. So we're waiting to see exactly how the permitting and commercialization will shake out in Florida. So today's talk, and as I stand here to you today, I still live in the 2014 Farm Bill universe. Okay, so what about hemp in Florida? Has there been a history of hemp in Florida? This report from the UF Ag Experiment Station in 1957 clearly suggests that there was no commercial production of hemp in Florida. Now, we could imagine that there has been hemp in Florida, but this is sort of the best information that I have about whether or not hemp was there. This is also a map to sort of confirm that, a map of distribution of cannabis sativa across the country from the USDA in 1970. You'll notice that Florida is conspicuously not included that in that distribution. But we do know that cannabis was in Florida, and we do know that it was grown outside. Okay, so there's sort of a meeting of two worlds here, and one that makes this conversation fairly challenging. So what are we doing at the University of Florida hemp program? Well, we're really trying to make this a team effort. I have some folks in the audience that have been helping with me, and we are greater than 15 faculty from eight units, agronomy, hort science, environmental horticulture, economics, entomology, pathology. We've got some really great support from our Ag Experiment Station, and of course with the interest in the chemistry, THC and CBD, we've got to get some folks in the College of Pharmacy. So what's going on in this map? If you see a star that's shaded in, these are permits that we have. We have 12 site permits from the Florida Department of Agriculture to run our pilot project. And we also have sort of two that are inactive sites. So right now we have 10 sites that are in possession and cultivating hemp across the University of Florida by way of our pilot project research. So let me jump right into one of our biggest concerns, which is that of the escape of hemp from farms into our natural areas. And so this is a standard process for Florida. Anytime a new crop is introduced to the state, it goes under this assessment. And because of the various different reasons, a lot of seeds, it's been known to be a weed. It is a noxious weed in several states. We've scored hemp as a high invasion risk. So that makes some of our work a bit more interesting in that a specific objective of the University of Florida IFAS pilot project is to experiment and investigate with this issue of invasion risk. And so one of my colleagues, ecologist, invasion ecologist, has basically taken some hemp seed and just kind of dropped it on the couple fields, variously organized for the experiment, and the establishment of hemp in those fields is not zero. Okay, and so it's still early days, but ultimately this is something that we've got to be paying attention to as a state. So the things that most of you folks might be interested in, the field trials. So our first and second research objectives are in the field trials are to just do a variety screening, making sure that we're understanding as much about the hemp genetics as possible, and then also moving down the road of establishing cropping systems that can use Florida's farmers' innovative experience and farming equipment, and also make sure that that's economically viable. So our field trials are set up right now in three locations. We have 25 hemp varieties from seed that we were able to gather over the last year or so. Those 25 varieties represent a diversity in uses, as I mentioned earlier, the fiber, the grain, and the cannabinoid extraction. Also from a diversity of origin, North America and Europe representing those northern latitudes, and some Asian varieties that are representing southern latitudes. So I work at the Tropical Research and Education in Homestead. That's about as far south in Florida as you can get. So that's one of our locations. In north central Florida, right around the UF main campus, is our location in Hague. And then we also have a north Florida location in Quincy. And so we're really looking to get that environmental gradient as well as one that's particularly interesting, which is the day length. So our research focus, as I mentioned, variety screening, planting date, and seed emergence. Okay, so this is just a list. This is the information that everybody asks me for. So what varieties are you using? We have these varieties because we are able to gain access to them, not because I thought that they were going to do well. Okay, so this is our representation, as I mentioned, of uses and origin. One of the things you can notice just by this image here is that the seed size varies quite large, from a couple millimeters to something like the size of a lentil. So let me just describe the locations briefly. In South Florida, we are a well-drained, what's called Rockdale soil. Okay, so for anyone who's not familiar with our soils, in air quotes, it's essentially a limestone rock that's been crushed up until you can put a plant in it. We planted out there May 1, May 22nd, on the solstice, and June 21st, and then July 18th. Emergence has been a challenge in the project so far, but low to moderate emergence in Homestead. I will note that when we put out these seeds, we gave them about 100 pounds of nitrogen per acre and just enough water to emergence. And since then, we haven't really done much. We're just watching how these plants are responding to our environments. Central Florida, it's poorly drained, deep sandy soil. The poorly drained part has been very noticeable, inches and inches of rain that are causing problems for these plants. Those experiments were planted the 8th and 29th of May and July 16th. As I mentioned, low emergence, primarily with a couple that were moderate. Quincy have been having a real hard time. North Florida, the well-drained soil has been okay for the moisture, but the sandy loam has been really great for the weeds. Hemp is having a hard time beating out the weeds in the early days. That was planted in May 30th and then again in the 21st. Okay, so this is what the hemp looks like in Homestead. This is pretty exciting for me to show this picture. This is the first legal outdoor planting of industrial hemp in Florida in about 60 years. So that was an exciting milestone for the project to get through. What I want you to notice within this variety trial is the difference between the South Chinese varieties in the background and the European varieties in the foreground. There are very noticeable differences between the genetics from the southern latitudes, one that match our light environment, and from the northern latitudes. So we have some plants that are going in the ground and flowering within 2 or 3 weeks. This is just another picture for perspective. These varieties from China are looking pretty good, certainly making the 3-meter mark in a couple weeks. So back to the genetics that are coming from the north and flowering early. I'm not ready to start describing too many end games, too many things that I'm not going to continue exploring. And so early flowering, I'm going to put in the positive light and suggest it may be an opportunity for Florida, one where we can quickly turn over some of these crops, put them out in the field, get them into grain well enough. So this is a candidate for one of those systems, seed production systems. And the next step will be the harvesting, which we'll be doing over the next couple weeks to really get those numbers to understand. We have some CBD hemp in that trial as well. These are an example of one of those varieties. The grain and fiber were planted somewhere between 500 and a million seeds per acre. The CBD hemp was also direct seeded, but at a 2 foot by 2 foot spacing, so that's more like 10,000 plants per acre. Now, by and large, we expected these CBD hemp which came to us from a company in Colorado, to also flower right away like our European grain and fiber varieties, but we haven't seen that, and so that's exciting, and a possible opportunity for Florida. However, just shortly after the solstice, we did see a couple of the varieties of CBD hemp shown on the right go to flower. And so it would seem as though that's not a light cue, but perhaps more of a heat stress. I don't know if you folks have been in Florida in the middle of July. It's kind of hot and sticky, and maybe these plants aren't quite ready for that. And on the left is just an example of some of those grain varieties from the north that went to flower just after emergence. I mentioned the issue with drainage. We've been considering putting hemp on some beds. You can notice the picture on the left, which is after a 2-inch rain event. I just got a report from my colleague at Hague that suggests that they got 6 inches in the last 2 days. And so I'm curious. I need an update picture for what that'll look like. Hemp doesn't like to get its feet wet, folks. We're talking about complete crop destruct after seeding and really serious delays in growth if it's soggy. I mentioned the weeds as well. We're working with some pre-emergent herbicides in the trial. It seems as though this emergence from direct seeding is going to be a very important challenge to get through for Florida's farmers. As you saw from Homestead, once the plants get up, they're looking good. But if we can't get them past the seed stage, then it's just not worth getting off the ground. The screening has been working to also look at diseases and pests. We haven't applied anything for them. We haven't used any control measures, but we're certainly paying attention closely for what we're seeing. So the southern blight we've seen in a couple plants in the field in Homestead. Certainly the damping off is another issue for seed emergence, that cocktail of fungus in the soil. So I'll leave you with this, sort of happy to show you a couple pictures of where we are in the early days of the University of Florida IFAS hemp program, but this is the conversation that I'm having with farmers, is make sure that you know what you're getting yourself into. Make sure you answer all your questions, these questions, and you've convinced yourself that it's worth the risk. Access to seeds, access to genetics is still severely limited, particularly with the certified language that's on the books in Florida. Transportation is clearing up, but still somewhat of a challenge. You've got to make sure that you have access and the understanding of the THC testing and the risk of your plants going hot, that being after field planting, your plants go above that 0.3% THC level. Biosecurity, the pests and diseases. As of today, there are zero registered agrochemicals in the state of Florida. There are a couple that are being sort of petitioned in various states and at the federal level. We'll see how quickly we can get up to speed with those labels. I mentioned the invasion risk as well. Personal security, so you'll see this fence here is around my hemp field. Mostly that's to keep the high schoolers away. Ultimately, keeping sort of that public outreach and information about this is hemp, and you have to get some serious headache and diarrhea before you'd ever get any sort of euphoria sort of out there will be an important part of the early days. The money, making sure you have a market is the last thing to be thinking about. So we're investigating the plant varieties, the cropping systems. We've got folks on our economics team trying to sort through that information and certainly interested in those environmental impacts. We're trying to do the best we can in the early days, making sure we have information out there. As all of you know, the science takes time, and we're certainly committed to that in Florida. So thank you. I'll take your questions. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. HC, when are you advising the farmers to end their cropping and go ahead and start drying?
Okay, so 0.3% THC. When are we advising farmers to sort of haul in their crop? We're not advising farmers anything right now.
Really?
At the University of Florida, we have a policy not to make recommendations until we have further sort of understanding of the crop. The invasion risk is something that we have to work through before we can start recommending a crop that can potentially get out into the natural areas. That is certainly a question that we're addressing with our research, doing THC testing over a time series, and we'll have some of that information hopefully within the first year to start reporting preliminary results.
I would suggest that you add the post-harvest stress physiology and that your THC is going to go up. So what I generally do is have them pull it up at 0.25 or 0.275 to allow that maturation of the THC. So I would suggest that you look at that very strongly.
Thank you. So the point was that the THC would likely rise post-harvest, and that should be considered as well in any sort of recommendation to a farmer. Thank you. Yes? How did I obtain the Chinese varieties? I asked very nicely. Yes, we're working with one specific company. In the early days, I sort of made a blanket call or blanket request to folks that were interested in joining the industry, folks in other states in the industry, and sort of by a series of word-of-mouth recommendations, we were able to find this one company in particular that was interested in working with us. Yes? The cultivar that flowered in the summer, the CBD hemp, it was in the we had a couple genetics that went. They were both in the berry blossom series. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So the question is, what about the proximity of hemp plantings to communities and public places? We haven't gotten there in Florida yet because we're still in pilot project. We don't have any planting on farm. Everything that I've been discussing today is at the University of Florida research facilities. I am aware of other states having various different set-asides. In some ways, it's more of a law enforcement issue. You can't catch the kids underneath the bleachers of the high school football game if you smell the hemp farm down the street. And as far as the smells, well, the smell is the terpenes. The smell isn't the cannabinoids and the THC that is going to cause any sort of physiological effects. And so, there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of important need for the public outreach part, the education part. And while in Florida, we're going to be hosting a series of workshops throughout the state over the next month. That's what I'm going to be doing when I go back to Florida. And so there's a lot of that information that we'll be sharing as well. Thank you. Yes? Currently, all the trials that I showed by picture are direct seeded. We have, in the last month or so, also put out some transplants. We had some issues bringing in plants, transplants into the state that had hemp russet mite and hemp aphid, and we're sort of working with the Department of Agriculture in Florida to make sure that we're being honest to that situation, staying safe, keeping our environment safe. And so there was a bit of delay with those plants going out into the field. But we expect that part of that cropping system, a whole other cropping system, is going to be a big part of what's going on as well. Thank you. Well, thanks, everybody. I'll take any other questions if you want to talk to me in private. I will note that my flight leaves in 2 hours, and so here we go. Thank you.